The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Our reading this morning is from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, and I'm reading from the NIV. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh Lord, please help these children learn to clean up their messes.
Why are you doing it?
Because I don't like messes. Oh, you mean I need to train them? We're all in different stages of our life journey and in different seasons of life. We're all in different stages of our faith journey. We also, whether we're here or whether we're watching online, we all have different family situations and circumstances. So today, I'm going to try to give you a broad overview of praying for family. And hopefully, everyone will find something that relates to their specific situation. Once you start praying for someone, your perspective changes. God changes your heart and gives you new insights and empathy for the person. But you need to be sincere and want what God's best for the person is, not just what you want or think they need. Now, I'm not an expert in praying for my family, but I have wrestled in prayer and I've seen God bring transformation. When you pray for a family member, God often asks you to look at your own life. And sometimes there's things you need to work on, and that's certainly been the case with me. If you pray for others, be ready for God to do a great work in your life. I wouldn't consider myself an intercessor. Many people are specifically gifted and called in this area to pray for individuals, for organisations, cities and nations. However, God asks each of us to love, and that's my basis for prayer. I want the best for others. God's best. So let's launch in. I thought it might be helpful to clarify what it means to pray for family. Who are we talking about when we consider family? In the 2021 census, The Australian Bureau of Statistics defined family as two or more people who are related by blood, marriage, adoption, step, or fostering, and who usually reside in the same household. Another organisation, BeStrongFamilies.org, say family means having someone to love you unconditionally, in spite of you and your shortcomings. And as a church, we also have our church family. And for some people, that defines those they care for and feel loved unconditionally by. In Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6, we read, God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. God sets the lonely in families. I think this shows us that while God's original intent was for a man and a woman to unite and begin a family, God has made provision for the effects of sin on the world, and he wants us all to be part of a family. So family can be your family of origin, the family formed by marriage, your community, those close to you, and those you belong with. Now, what is prayer? Britannica.com defines prayer as an act of communication by humans with the sacred or holy God. So, my most basic understanding of praying for family is talking with God about those you're related to and those you care deeply about. When should we pray? In everyday life. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us to pray continually. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I know for me, when there's challenges in life, I'm much more likely to petition the Lord. As Hebrews 4 verse 16 tells us, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And Ephesians 6:18 tells us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, and with this in mind, to be alert and keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So we should pray continually, whether we're celebrating joys or navigating challenges. And prayer is vital in times of crisis and necessary in all occasions, even if everything is going well. So let's consider where we should pray. Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 talks about the commands of the Lord and implores us to impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And I think that gives us lots of ideas for prayer too. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you can communicate with God. You can pray. I find that I pray more specifically for my family when I'm intentionally spending time with God. For me, that means prioritising time with God, sometimes known as having a quiet time or devotions. This can mean having a set time and place where we read our Bible and talk with God. And there's many times, many days, when my quiet times have been non-existent, or very short, or the place has been anything but quiet. Different stages of life and changing daily routines can make it challenging. But being intentional is what's important. Now, when you come to sit at your table, you might say grace together as a way of thanking God for his provision for your family. If you visited our family table, You may know that grace takes many forms, and it's often sung. But before we leave our table, we also like to pray. And we often pray for members of our family. When you have young children, praying at the table is often a good opportunity for them to learn how to pray. You are modelling prayer and showing them how to talk to God. I have often just said a simple prayer and asked them to repeat it after me, just to help them learn to pray. But let's be honest, it's not always easy praying with young children. I usually ask them to close their eyes and put their hands together like this or like this, just to help them to focus and so they're not poking and prodding each other. Or I'd be holding a baby to settle it on my lap so that somebody else could actually pray. Over time and with consistency, children learn to pray. And I always aim to encourage them whenever I hear them speaking out God's heart for others as they pray. I rarely pray at our table now. I have plenty of other children who are capable of praying. And just for the record, our family table usually doesn't look as cute as this. There's usually crumbs on the tablecloth and lots of children jostling for position. Another good place to pray is when you're in the car. Also good with young children because they're strapped in and it's much easier for them to focus without distraction. When you're in the car, you can pray for your day or for the activities that you're going to. But if you're the driver, remember to always keep your eyes open. Other places you can pray is with friends you trust, perhaps at church or with your life group. But why do we pray for our family? I think it's because we want to make a difference in their lives. Some of the things you might want to pray for family members are for their salvation, as we heard about last week. You might want to pray for growth in their relationship with God, for them to develop good character, for their achievements and that they'll have the right motivations. You might want to pray for specific healing, depending on what they're going through. You want them to develop good habits and have good lifestyle choices. So pray about it. You might want to pray for growth in their capacity to learn and for their and for being able to be responsible. You can pray for their protection. I think it's great to pray for inspiration for them to be the person that God has made them to be. You can also pray for the development of skills and abilities and for resilience. You can pray for their behaviour, especially if it's, you know, challenging for you. You can pray for guidance for them, especially when they're making big decisions. And you can pray that they'd have good people around them, that they'd have good friendships, and if they're not married, pray for their future spouse. Pray for provision and for peace. So these are all reasons why we pray. So how do we pray? Well, I'm no expert. I have a family, and my prayers, my communication with God, have helped me muddle through life as I've navigated family relationships and needs. As I've learnt to understand God's best for family members, I've been able to pray intentionally and with purpose. I think we just need to start praying, and God changes us as we pray. Along the way, God has changed me. He's refocused my prayers and taken me on a journey of getting my heart right. So I thought it would be important for us to look at our motives for praying. What do you pray? Perhaps it's to make life easier for yourself or for someone else. And that's a normal place to start. But perhaps a better place to get to is to seek God's best for someone else. You might have heard the saying, don't pray for an easy life, pray to be a strong person. James 4, that David read to us earlier, is a great place to land when we're looking at our motives. We're just going to look at parts of that now. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Did you notice verse 2 there says, you do not have because you do not ask God? And then verse 3 goes on to say, whenever you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives. So if we ask, we don't get. But if we do ask, we still don't get, because we ask with wrong motives. How do we solve that one? If we continue on in James 4, we find that verse 8 gives us a clue. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And verse 10 tells us to humble ourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. As we come to God, he will change us. He will make our hearts right before him, so that our desires will no longer be for things of the world, but they would rather align with God's heart. I have certainly seen that play out in my time as I've come to the Lord to pray for my family. Often I've come with my own agenda, and God has had to show me that my understanding is wrong, and then gently realign my thinking. And it can be tough. Have you ever prayed for someone who was turned away from the Lord? We want God to just take hold of them and fix their thinking. And then God shows you that he's given everyone free choice, and it's not your job to control them, just to love them. We're not to judge them or lecture them. And then God reveals areas of your life that he needs you to address, like pride. Ouch. Your current life situation can often be the motivation for praying for your family. Let's look at some family circumstances that could motivate us to pray. Now, these are just some examples of things that we may face at some point in your life. And often, my initial motives have been selfish, to make life easier for me. And God has had to transform me and my thoughts. So firstly up here we have, you might have a baby who's not sleeping well at night. What is my motive? Well, for me, it's to get a good night's sleep so life is easier for me. And you know, God has showed me over the years that often a baby needs to be nurtured really well, as they're very sensitive. And for me, I've had to teach them to trust and feel secure, so that they would know how to trust God and feel secure in his presence, even if it's meant a lot of work in the middle of the night. And God gives you extra strength when you need it. You may have a toddler and they're going through the troublesome twos. Good time to pray. If you're a teenager and young adult, or young adult, you can't be both, you could have parents who don't understand you and your life. Parents who don't understand you. Wow, that's really tough. Your motive for praying in this situation could be to have your parents value you for who you are. Perhaps God might show you how he sees you, to help you know you're valued. And he could also help you understand your parents' perspective. Perhaps they've had possible hurt and pain in their life that could have led them to think and act the way that they do. God may give you more grace to love them unconditionally, regardless of the way they treat you. Other family situations could be you're married, but your marriage is drifting apart. Good time to pray. You may be a parent of a child or teen that just struggles to fit in or is wrestling with poor choices. You may have adult children who have strayed away from the Lord. You could have elderly parents or someone in your family has health challenges. You may have a family member that you feel alienated from. Or you might have married children who are struggling to have a child. You may have a family member who judges you and you're always found wanting. You may be lonely and actually not feel that you have a family to pray for. Or everything could be going quite well at the moment. Thank you very much. But all these situations are things that could motivate you to pray. When we're looking at how to pray, these are some things to consider. Is my heart right? We've just talked about our motives for prayer. But have you ever found that when you pray to God about something, you have a preconceived expectation of how God will answer? At the beginning, when I was packing up the blocks, I role-played talking to God. Then we heard an audible voice. But for me, it's usually just an impression in my heart rather than an audible voice. A while ago, I was talking with God about my children and how to manage specific activities with them. God asked me to release control of that area to him. Now, that sounds pretty simple, but in this situation, I felt that God had given me the responsibility to supervise the use of technology. And I was struggling, as I don't like to be the technology police. God knows that I don't like conflict, but he also knows I take responsibility seriously. As I prayed, I felt he asked me to surrender control to him and trust him to protect my children. The truth was, there was many times that I wasn't right there with my children, so I had to trust God to care for my children and protect them. But I just struggled. Anyway, I did surrender this to God and I began to trust him with it. A few days later, God woke me in the night to a pungent perfume smell. I knew immediately that something had been viewed on technology in my house, in our house, that was not appropriate. By trusting God, he gave me insight that I couldn't have known myself. So I was able to address this with the child as God directed me. If I hadn't given control to God, I could have missed an opportunity to connect with my child and work through something beyond my control. Having our hearts soft before the Lord allows him to mould us and help our prayers to be transformed in line with his will. Be aware that God can get your attention in many different ways. So don't ignore dreams, what's going on in nature, or things that people say to you. If you are stirred by something, take it to the Lord and seek his understanding. And when you've correctly discerned his message and will for you, you will feel God's peace. Another thing to consider is, do I trust God with the outcome? Have you ever prayed for healing for someone? I prayed for healing for my mother-in-law, who I love dearly. God showed me he showed me answers to my prayers, as the cancer she was inflicted with was able to be dealt with through surgery. But a while later, as I was praying, God showed me his healing outcome, and it wasn't the answer I'd been praying for. I wouldn't have chosen death as the method of healing. And the realisation hit me hard, but I chose to trust God with the outcome, knowing that his ways are beyond my understanding. Now, we also need to discover, how does God see my family member? Over recent years, Many of my challenges with older children have been due to technology use. I know that children need to be trusted and given the opportunity to take responsibility for their own and develop their own discipline. But sometimes they just don't seem to organise themselves very well. Often, when I've been praying for my children, God has shown me how He sees my children. And that has helped me to continue to pray in line with His will. On one particular occasion, God showed me that my child was capable of making the right decisions, the right choices. And I had to give them opportunity to prove it without enforcing any consequences to get the result that I hoped for. All God allowed me to do was to go to the child and suggest it'd be a good idea if they talked to God about the amount of time they were spending playing a particular game. Imagine my surprise when a few weeks later, the child came to me and said, "Mum, I thought you might like to know, I did talk to God about that game and I've deleted it now. But, you know, I could have sold that my account in that game. I was ranked so high. But I decided I didn't want to give anyone else the same trouble." All I could do was thank God that He had intervened and saved an unpleasant struggle because I chose to listen to what God told me about my child. We also need to consider, what does God's word say? It's easy to pray for what we want, but by using the words of Scripture, we align our desires with what God wants, and that's when prayer is really powerful. In different seasons of life, I have prayed specific passages of Scripture daily for my children. One of the passages that I've prayed is from Philippians 1, verse 9 to 11. Let's take a look at it. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." John 14, verse 14, it says, You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." When I was struggling with how much time one of my children was spending on their phone, I cried out to the Lord. I just asked God, "Fix this situation." I didn't know what to do, so I just asked for God to bring breakthrough. Several weeks later, my child came home from an activity and said, "Oh, Mum, you won't believe what happened today. My phone fell out of my pocket. It was totally smashed. It's totally ruined and unusable." I couldn't help but smile. I mean, even though I'd usually be very unsympathetic, and although I tried to hide it, my child noticed and asked, "Oh, Mum, you didn't pray for my phone to be smashed, did you?" God had allowed a reset to happen, but it showed me the power of trusting God to bring about a resolution to a challenging situation. Weeks later, when my child had saved up enough money to purchase another phone, they came to me and asked me to promise that I would not ask God to smash their new phone. We both certainly had realised the power of prayer. And finally, what part does God want me to play in being part of the answer to my prayers? Now, sometimes we pray for people because we're concerned about their poor choices. God gives each of us free choice. As a prayer, we can be challenged by that. We think that we should do certain things to help God to answer our prayer the way that we think it needs to be answered. And God has shown me that any judgment or voicing my ideas or opinions is actually usually counterproductive. God has highlighted for me that the part I need to play is to love and learn how that the person that I'm praying for feels love. Sometimes the answers to prayers can take years. They can take years to come, and occasionally we may not see the results of prayers in our lifetime, but God asks us to trust him. Over the coming weeks, we're going to hear from some seasoned prayers about different ways to pray and specific types of prayer. While I've touched briefly on some of these today, know that you will get a fuller picture over the coming weeks. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Let's take a moment to ask, what is God saying to me and what am I going to do about it? And as you pray for your family, may God move mountains and may he be glorified. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we can come to you and pray for our families, that we can talk with you about those we're related to and those we care deeply about. Help us to have the right motives as we come to you, so that we love others and want your best for them. Bless our families and may we shine for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And some of you here today may have trouble even thinking of praying for your family. Some of you may have been hurt very deeply by family. But can I encourage you to start the journey? Start the journey of praying to God. And as you start to pray, he will change your heart and he will transform you and your prayers so that they hit the mark for him.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.